Well, good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. Have you ever prepared for something or meditated upon something for months and months, and God, in the last second, came to you and changed, "No, you are not going to share this"? Well, that has happened. I have been meditating upon one of these thoughts for about 8 or 9 months since the conference. And wherever I see that phrase or the word, I quickly go back to my meditating or note down that point and see how I can, what God is trying to speak with me, or how I can include it in that message. But sometimes that kind of meditating is important for you, not to teach or preach, but it is for your own sake. And I thank and praise God for He has given me that chance to meditate upon it. But today, I want to share a little testimony how God turned me back to share this message today. So about 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, I got a dream. And in the dream, one of the sisters from our fellowship, who is Betty Ann. So Betty, I took her permission though. She knows I'm going to bring her name. So we are gathered in a small gathering, and she was saying, there is something in Acts, you need to study about this, but the main focus is in 1 Timothy, the letters to Timothy. And I said, "Lord, I have," and I woke up that day and read 1 Timothy for a couple of chapters and said, "Lord, if this is the topic that you want me to speak, I'm not sure how I can include it in the topic that I am already meditating in." So with my human power and everything, I tried to include or fit that in the topic that I am trying to share, right? But it never settled. It never gave me comfort. I have been unsettled. I don't know what to do. I'm asking my wife to pray for me. I'm praying for myself in my daily prayers. It never settled, even until last Friday, the day before yesterday. I was not settled. So on Friday, I usually fast in the morning, and I woke up. I texted my team that I'm not going to work today, and God's grace, it worked out. Because it gave me some free time, and I woke up, I read the Bible, and that day my daily portion is 1 Timothy again. And I started reading it, and I completed 6 chapters, and God gave me the thought. And I continued again to 2 Timothy. I did not stop in the first letter. And God gave me the thoughts. The thoughts are pouring out, and within 10 or 15 minutes, my whole message frame has been built up. Praise the Lord. So that's the message. And I am sure that God wants to speak every one of us today, including me, and about this message and about this thought. So let's commit this time into our Lord's hand and help and ask Him to help us to hear His voice. Let's pray. Living and loving Heavenly Father, we thank You, O Lord, for giving us this day and this time for us to gather around Your name, O Lord. The time that You have given us to worship, O Lord. We commit this time into Your hands, O Lord. Open up our senses, all the senses, O Lord, so that we can hear Your sweet little voice, O Lord, and we can understand the burden that You have for us today. We commit this time into Your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. I'm sure we all have Bibles, so let's open it and let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. I will read it. O Timothy, guard the deposit entrusted to you. Avoid the irrelevant babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. And let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. I'm sure you might have heard on this topic, guard the deposit entrusted to you many times. But God wants to speak with us again today on the topic. Let me give you a little bit context in what condition Paul is in writing these two letters. First letter to Timothy and second letter to Timothy. Paul's we'll try to understand Paul's condition and situation where he wrote these two letters. I did some research and there have been different timelines between these two letters, but it is in between about 3 to 7 years of gap when Paul wrote 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. But he is in very different circumstances in both of these times. In between these 3 to 7 years, a lot has been changed in the ministry life of Paul. In first letter, when he's writing the first letter, he might have been imprisoned or he might have been released from his first imprisonment when he's writing to Timothy, but mainly focusing on the church of Ephesus and how he needs to lead that church, even though they are well experienced and everything. He is guiding Timothy to lead the church. But Paul knows personally that he has future that he can look unto when he's writing 1 Timothy. So in the circumstances, he write this and say, O Timothy, guard the deposit that has been entrusted to you. In 2 Timothy, the letter written to Timothy the second time, Paul is in anguish. He is suffering. He don't know whether there will be future or not because he have been imprisoned. His own people has abandoned him. He is alone. He is suffering and he know death is coming for him. They are going to martyr him because he is following Jesus Christ. Even though he is suffering like that, he is saying again, O Timothy, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. But in the second time, you need to look at the difference. He's asking, through the Holy Spirit, you need to guard the good deposit entrusted to you. So today, as we are looking into this, let's look unto the Holy Spirit that has been given unto us also and ask him to help us to understand this burden that God has for us. So that is the situation of Paul. He is in two different circumstances, but his message to Timothy is the same thing. He needs to guard the good deposit. Now, if we see, what is that good deposit that Paul is speaking about? And brothers and sisters, this is how Holy Spirit works. I am really struggling to keep it in one sentence, to explain what is this good deposit that has been entrusted to you and me. If it has been entrusted to Timothy, it also has been entrusted to us, right? Because Paul is teaching every one of us, all the church, the universal church. And I'm struggling to keep it or explain it in one sentence. And today morning, Brother Kenny stood up here and said, redemption of the soul is costly. That's it. That's the good deposit, right? Through gospel or through the blood of Jesus Christ, which is very costly, he has bought us. And he has given us that good gospel to save it, to guard it, to protect it, which is in us, right? So that is the good deposit. Guard the good deposit. Redemption of the soul is costly. And if it has been given to us, which is very costly, and we know that it is costly, how much careful we have to be, right? If America is saving gold somewhere in the bank, what is the security for that? It is very tight security, right? No one can enter. And it is even more costly than that. All the gold, it is even more costly than all the minerals on this earth, which has been given to us, the gospel, the blood of the Jesus Christ. It is costly, and we need to protect it, we need to guard it, and it has been entrusted to us. So what is this deposit? It's a deposit, something that one person has placed in trust to another person's safekeeping. So God not only shed his blood for us and cleansed our sins, he also entrusted this deposit for us. The gospel, our salvation through that gospel, Our salvation through that Christian faith and truth has been entrusted to us or given to us. But currently, the world situation is abnormal. It is very difficult for us to guard this good deposit given to us. This gospel, this Christian faith, this truth, it is very difficult. Right? So we know whom we believed in, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are fully convinced that he is able to keep us until the day he comes back. Right? He is able to keep us blameless until the day he comes back for us. But it is very difficult to live in this world, in this fleshly body, and to guard that good deposit given to us. Our Lord Jesus trusted this good deposit to us, knowing who we are and what we are. So quickly, this good deposit becomes ourselves because it is living in us. God's truth is living in us. Good news is living in us. Because, and that means it is us, ourselves, we need to protect from this abnormal world that is around us. Our faith in the Lord, our life, everything that concerns us, our love for him, our total, complete commitment to him, that we need to protect. And Paul knows his suffering is for this deposit, which has been entrusted to him. And that's why he is earnestly asking Timothy to guard that deposit again and again in both situations, right? Many people are ashamed of this, of sufferings of Paul. Many people are abandoning Paul, but Paul is faithful to the Lord because he knows the importance of this good deposit, the truth that has been given to him through Jesus Christ. And he is instructing Timothy and us as well to guard that good deposit. And it's not only the gospel or the truth in Christ Jesus that has been given to us to God. The good deposit also includes the word that God has given to us. John 1:1 says, Jesus is the word. And it, the word comes for us so that it can speak lively. It can reveal things to us that are concerning us, personally as well as the church, right? So it is very important to guard the good, sound word that is in this world. You are seeing in this abnormal world today. Everyone are speaking. Everyone are uploading videos online. Everyone are doing some kind of ministry, whether it can be good or wrong. And it is very easy to lost in that kind of world and to lost the way and see which is correct and which is wrong, right? It is very difficult in this abnormal world. We are facing all these challenges, and especially the younger ones. And that is the reason I want the younger ones here today, to listen to this. It is very easy to get lost in the online world, and you will not be able to decide which is correct and which is wrong. So you need to be careful. You need to understand, and you need to follow your elders. You need to follow the people who are elder to you and take guidance from them. That is the second one we need to protect. That concerns the deposit. And the third one is the revelation through reading that word. Not only reading the word is important, but the revelation that Jesus Christ is giving us through this word, that the Holy Spirit is opening up this word to us, and we need to understand that revelation. We need to protect that revelation. We need to know whether that is coming from the Lord or from other source. We need to understand that, and we need to protect that. So we have seen what is the deposit. One is the truth that God has given us, which is very costly. The good news that God has given us, which is very costly. And the word that God has given us, which is very precious and which will lead in our lives in any kind of situation, and the revelation that is coming through that word. So we need to protect this. But what is the contrary to this deposit? There are several contradictions that are happening to this deposit, which is the knowledge. That is what being said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. Which Paul is clearly mentioning. Avoid the irrelevant babble and contradictions, what is falsely called knowledge. And Adam and Eve wanted this knowledge. They disobeyed the Lord to get this knowledge. And this knowledge is very dangerous. If the knowledge we know is only about the doctrine, is only about the traditions, is only about the teaching or preaching, then it is only good for normal times when everything is going good. It will not help you. It will not keep you closer to God when the conditions are bad, when you are going through sufferings. So we need to be aware of this knowledge, whether it is the good deposit that has been given to us or the knowledge that we are acquiring on ourself. So we need to be aware of that. Come the abnormal and difficult times, we are bound to fall into the pitfalls if we are getting closer to the knowledge instead of the good deposit that God has given us. And that we will learn how those pitfalls looks like, and we will look into those pitfalls a little bit afterwards. And the question now I want to ask every one of you is, why is this deposit important and essential to us? Yes, I said it is costly and it is very important for us because the gospel is important for us. It will keep us, it will protect us. Why it is essential for us to get closer to that good deposit given to us? It becomes the vital thing in our lives so that we are not shaken when God shakes the things which are not his. Brothers and sisters, God is going to destroy which are not his in this world, which means you are going to be part of that when he is destroying. So if you are not closer to him, if you don't know what is good and what is wrong, you will be shaken. That's what I'm saying. You need to be sure what has been given to you. The knowledge, instead of knowledge, we need to be sure about the deposit. If God is shaking this world which are not his, we should not be shaken. We should stay strong. We should stand strong so that his kingdom stands strong on this earth when other things are falling apart. Let me give you an example, right? And how standing strong is related to every one of us, especially for the people who are leading their flock, who are ministering for their flock. So this example has really happened. It's kind of an analogy. So in 1962, in India, a dam has been built. It was a big dam, about 30, 35 feet height, and it is built to stop the rainwater so that it can be utilized. So once the dam has been built, usually in those days, I don't know now, but in those days, they used to wait for 6 months so that it can settle down and everything is strong and that can be utilized. But this dam which has been built, engineers decided, so confident about their work, they started using it right away. At starting, everything is good. Everything is strong. It is being used correctly. But come the bigger rainfalls, heavy rainfall, the dam started to crack and the water started to leak. They tried all their best to stop that leak by applying cement or applying iron sheets, etc., but they were not able to. Within 5 minutes, they went to have their lunch, and within 5 minutes, that whole dam has been collapsed, and we don't know how many people lost their lives. Right? So we should never be confident in our own work that we are doing for the Lord. And we need to be sure that we are doing it according to the will and purpose of the Lord so that not only us who will be damaged if it fails, but all the people around us that we are ministering to. So it is the greater responsibility that we have. And that is the more essential aspect to get closer to the deposit instead of the knowledge. So that the people who are depending on us, on our ministering, on our service, will not get affected. Not only us, but the people who are around us. We should not affect them. And that's why we need to get closer to God and to that deposit. And it is very essential. As the coming of the Lord nears, the whole world will be shaken. To withstand that, we need to be sure that the deposit has been entrusted to us, so that we will be prepared, and as a result, his whole kingdom will not be shaken. We need to be sure about that. Now, I have been talking about the deposit for so much of time. Now we need to understand why it has been entrusted to us. We know that deposit has been given to us, but God is so powerful that he can guard it, right? He can keep that deposit. Why? But why God is desiring so that we can work with him, and he entrusted that deposit to us. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So as a soldier, the soldier's aim is to please the enlisted one. For that soldier has to be enlisted first. And God enlisted us to protect this deposit which has been given to us. He is able to keep it by himself. He can protect it by himself. But he is looking for that fellowship. He is looking for that responsibility so that we can take up that responsibility. So he enlisted us as the believers in Christ. If you believe in Christ Jesus, you are enlisted. No matter you are serving, you are speaking, you are doing something. If you are a believer in the Jesus Christ, you are enlisted to keep this deposit, to understand this deposit, to get closer to this deposit, right? So the first one is, we are enlisted. Now, once you are enlisted, once you accepted that responsibility, there should be some qualifications for that soldier, right? There are some qualifications given through Timothy himself. He is an example or kind of a role model as a soldier who has been enlisted. And let's look at those qualifications of Timothy and try and understand how we can gain from his experience or these qualifications from him. So the qualifications to be enlisted and guarding is through Timothy. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. So this is about Timothy, how he is, how his life was, who has been enlisted as the soldier, right? So 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith. So Paul speaking about Timothy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, O Timothy. You are sincere in faith as your mother and your grandmother. You are so sincere that I want to give this responsibility to lead this whole church. Right? Are we sincere in that faith as Timothy is? Second qualification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith. Who Paul is sending? Timothy. And how Paul is explaining about Timothy? God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. Are we co-workers in the gospel of Christ? Yes, we should be co-workers in the gospel of Christ. That is the responsibility given to us. But are we acting in that? Are we acting in that sincere faith to work for the gospel and for his kingdom? So those are the qualifications. And I want to take this time to challenge especially the younger ones, right? Especially the younger ones. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, Paul is saying, and Paul is instructing Timothy like this. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. Are we ready in season and out of season? Let me take one example. If something, God forbid, if something has happened to me, there might be an emergency has happened to me, and I was not able to come here today and stand before you and not preach. Who are you? Be ready to come here and share the God's word. Can I see any hands? Are you ready? Not me, okay, some other brother who wants to break the bread or who wants to open the time. Are you coming ready? Are you prepared to share the God's word if something came up and the brother who has been planned? We are so interested, or we are so depending on our planning, we don't even think about it. But our plans are bound to fail, correct? Our plans are bound to fail unless the Lord keeps those plans. So let's not be so much confident in those plans. And this has been shared, and this thought has been given through Brother Kong, who shared at some time. I was listening to one of his messages, and he said, he shared this testimony, that when he was young and he is working with Brother Nee, and Brother Nee was sick while he is helping, Brother Kong is helping Brother Nee. So every Sunday, Brother Kong has to go prepared with a message, because he never knows when Brother Nee will say, go Brother Kong, and you are going to share the Sunday's message. So he would say, Brother Nee would say to Brother Kong, before 30 minutes or 1 hour before. And Brother Kong has to be prepared every single Sunday. And you remember, or you understand how difficult the training is, but we have reaped of that fruit that Brother Kong has get trained on. Because Brother Kong is ready every single Sunday. And if you and I are prepared like that, how much more fruit we can bear when we are going into this world. Not right here. You might not get a chance right here, because God is very gracious. He might bless our plans and it can go well. But if you are moved to some other place, because we are comfortable right here when all the believers are around us. But what happens if there are no believers around you, and you have to take that responsibility to lead a flock, to lead the younger generation? This is the challenge, brothers and sisters, that has been given to us. Are we being prepared? Are we taking that good deposit and take up that responsibility of a soldier who has been enlisted to please the person who has enlisted us? Are we getting prepared like that? Right? So while serving, are we examining ourselves, or serving like the normal service without reverence, or are we serving with reverence, coming prepared to take up that responsibility whenever it is needed? And because you never know when that responsibility comes up. And I'm not saying this about preaching or teaching. And I'm not leaving out the sisters who are sitting there, right? Because for husbands to come up here and share, the work of the sisters, husbands, wives, is very much important, because they are taking care of that. Because for a husband to be prepared every single Sunday, his wife has to pray for him so that he can be prepared every single Sunday. It is the collective effort. It's not just the brothers who are doing all the work. There is not, a lot of things are going on behind the scenes, right? So why I'm saying is, it's the collective responsibility that has been given to us, so that we can get closer to that deposit and keep that deposit and take up that responsibility that has been given to us. Now, we have seen that why it is entrusted to us, because we have been enlisted and we have looked at Timothy, that he has those qualities, and Paul has given that responsibility to him. Now, why do we need to guard the thing that has been entrusted to us? Because that can be lost, that can be snatched away, it can be misused, a thief can come and take what has been given to us. There, I will give you three reasons. There might be many reasons you can find why we need to guard the responsibility given to us. The first reason is to protect ourselves from us. To protect ourselves from us. Correct? We, as human beings, or in this bodily flesh, we need to protect ourselves from our bodily flesh. Once you are saved or has been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, or if you can read it afterwards, it is okay. But the synopsis is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 9. Here, Paul instructing Timothy about the self-love that he is seeing among the people. Lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to the parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control. All these things are related to yourself, not to somebody else, right? And we need to be very careful, and we need to protect ourselves from us, right? And how can we do that? It is very easy to follow the Lord, love the Lord, when you are surrounded by the believers, right? You are all good. They can be your protection. They can see what is happening in your life. That is what the fellowship is. The relationships will get closer to you, and they can warn you when the time comes. But what happens if you go to college, or if you moved to an island like John did? And what happens? What happens at that time? Who is going to keep you from falling? It is God, right? So we need to understand we ourselves are enemies to us as long as we are in this bodily flesh on this earth until the Lord comes. But God has given us that ability to look unto him so that the Holy Spirit can protect us when we are going wrong. But we need to be sensitive to respond to that Holy Spirit, right? The second reason, so that we do not swerve from the truth and be protected, and to protect others from falling. So let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 21. So what, because of following that knowledge instead of the deposit, some of the people or the believers in the church are doing this. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. By professing the knowledge instead of the deposit, some have swerved from the faith. And even if you go to the initial chapters or the first chapters of 1 Timothy, you can see about the false teachers, wrong doctrines, wrong teachings that are going on in Ephesus, right? We need to protect ourselves from those kind of teachings, as I have mentioned earlier, from the online teachings, whatever that are going on. So don't consume whatever you find it. Validate it. Take guidance from your elders who come before you, because they have that experience. You might think you might know it all, but no, that's not correct. The experience matters, because God has taught them through the years, and we need to respect that experience, and we need to take that guidance. Don't consume everything so in the terms of knowledge and think that you have gained everything, that you know everything. It is very wrong, and it is very dangerous. From that, we need to guard ourselves, guard the deposit that has been given to us, right? And it will bring the fall down of the people around us too, because as soon as we learn something, the tendency of the human being is to share that with someone. And until you share that knowledge or the new thing, you will not be settled, so that some people can look at you and think, oh, he knows so much, she knows so much. We need to protect ourselves from that, which is the humbleness or the humility, right? So validate it, whatever you are learning. Take the help of the elders who are around you. And it will not cause the irreverent babble that Paul has mentioned in 2 Timothy also. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, he mentions that the people who are following this knowledge is causing the irreverent babble, which is not good at all. We need to get closer to the sound doctrine which has been given to us. And please don't misunderstand me that I am saying that doctrine is wrong. No, doctrine is not wrong. As Brother Dana Congdon said in the conference message, last year, doctrine is important as long as it brings the light, as long as you seize the light that doctrine brings instead of the shadows, getting under the shadow of that doctrine. So I'm not saying doctrine is wrong, but we need to be careful what that doctrine is teaching us, whether the light or the wrong things. Now, we have seen the importance of the deposit, what is the deposit, and how we need to be closer to that, why it has been entrusted to us, and why we need to guard it. We have seen all these reasons. Now, my question is, how do we guard it, and what happens if we do not guard the deposit? Right, what happens? As I said, we will swerve from faith. We don't know what the truth is, and what is wrong and what is correct. And the most dangerous thing is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. Paul has clearly mentioned. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 20, the last part of the verse 20. So Paul is talking about the people who are not in good conscience and who are shipwrecking their faith because of this knowledge, not holding fast to the faith. And what happened to them? Among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Handed over to Satan, this is a very big word. We know what has happened when a person has been handed over to Satan. Saul, in Old Testament, he has been handed over to Satan. What happened to him? He never came back. But our Lord is gracious. Even though these people have been handed over to Satan, they still can come back as long as they can recognize what they were doing wrong, because God will never say no to the people who repent, who confess, who understand their mistakes. He has open doors for everyone. He can bring them back. God can bring them back. But we should not be in that position in the first place. We should not be handed over to Satan. So we need to be careful of that. That's what happens if we do not guard our deposit that has been entrusted to us. Right? How do we guard it? There are many things you can study on how to do it. If you read 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, you can come up with 10 different points, not just the points that I'm mentioning right now. If you do it yourself, God might reveal so many things. But I want to touch upon two or three things. Submit yourself to the Lord. Period. Submit yourself to the Lord. In anything you do, submit yourself to the Lord. Ask God to teach you, Lord, is this correct or wrong? I am going in the right direction or wrong direction. There is no spectrum when God speaks to you. It might be this or it might be that. No, there is no might, there is no spectrum. It is black and white, yes or no. That's it, if you are submitting to the Lord, in the decisions that you are taking. In every single thing, you need to ask the Lord, Lord, is this correct? Is this what you want me to do? So understand that. And the second thing is, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul is saying this, which is why I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. He is not ashamed. Paul is not ashamed. He is going through sufferings. Everyone has abandoned him. Everyone he knows. The whole Asia has abandoned him. In that same chapter, if you go further verses down, Paul says. But he is not ashamed of the sufferings. Whenever you are going through difficult times, brothers and sisters, you should not be ashamed. Because God is preparing you. God is preparing you. He is mending you so that you can work for him as he is intended. So we need to remember that. We should not be ashamed of the sufferings, or we should not be ashamed of the gospel that is in us. We should not be ashamed to share with people and proudly say that I'm the follower of Jesus Christ. No matter what type of persecutions it brings in your life, you should not be ashamed to say that you are the child of the God. So let's remember that. That's how we guard the deposit that has been given to us. One is, submit ourselves to the Lord. And the second one is by not being ashamed of the sufferings that brings in our lives. Third one, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Not in the faith and love that is in Paul, or not in the faith and love that is in your spouse or your friends or your elders. It is in the faith that is in Christ Jesus and the love in Christ Jesus. You need to hold the pattern of sound words that has been given to you. Right? So first you need to concentrate on the word, and second you need to concentrate on the teachings of your elders who are around you. As I said, we need to follow our elders so that we can be prepared and trained and mended according to the will of the Lord. So we need to hold the pattern of the sound words. That is the third thing. And the fourth thing, which is very much very important, that Paul has been giving to Timothy or instructing Timothy. So as in the starting, I said the difference between 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, and the 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, which is the Holy Spirit. So by the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit, we can guard the deposit that has been given to us. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." So if Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, he's readily available whenever you ask, right? You will be able to guard it. Lord, teach me or show me what is wrong or what is correct so that I can guard the deposit that you have entrusted to me. So we need to depend on the Holy Spirit and his leading. All we need to do is cooperate with the Holy Spirit instead of quenching the Holy Spirit through the deeds or the through the habits that we have in our fleshly body. We need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We need to give complete control to the Holy Spirit so that he can speak with us. Holy Spirit is the God, and he can give that connection between us and the Lord and show us what is the purpose of the Lord in our lives. And let the Holy Spirit rule over our lives in every decision, in everything that has been given to us. And the final thing is, never trust our flesh, which has no good. Never trust the flesh. The fleshly desires, okay, this might be correct. This plan might work out. This decision might be correct. Oh, it's okay if I don't know what God is intending me to do here. Oh, it's okay if I go there because it will help my salary or it will help my future or whatever it is, because you don't know what will happen tomorrow and you don't know where you will be tomorrow. So never trust your flesh and the decisions that you are making in your flesh. And to understand what is fleshly decision and what is the decision of the Holy Spirit, you need to get closer to God. If you are not closer to God, you will never be able to understand what is correct and wrong. And that is why it is most important we need to walk by the guidance and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, you said, brother, this is all good. I wake up tomorrow and I get closer to God and follow all these things. Is everything, my life is going to be smooth? Am I going to walk on the cake? Is it like a very smooth ride until the rest of my life? No, it is not. If you are getting closer to God, trying to guard the deposit that has been given to you, your life might get more tougher. Let me say it right out. I don't want to say it. It might get tougher. You will face challenges of guarding the good deposit. The first thing is spiritual warfare. If you try to do the good thing or the right thing according to the will and purpose of the Lord, Satan will attack. If you are not willing to accept that, that is fine with me, but that is the thing that will happen. And that is why you need the fellowship of the Lord around you. That is why you need church. If you are alone, you are bound to attack. And that is why God has given you the brothers and sisters, young and old, wise and knowledgeable, and who can pray for you, right? That's why we need to understand the work of the fellowship, why church is important in your life, so that you can fight that warfare, not by yourself, but the support of your church, right? You might be abandoned by your own people for doing the correct thing. That has happened in the life of Paul. That the whole Asia has abandoned him in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. But that's where our brothers and sisters in Christ help us. Fellowship, prayers, accountability, helping each other in need, praying whenever you are in difficulty, right? So you might face challenges, you might face spiritual warfare, but you have the church to support you. And start trusting your church and lean on the church that God has put you in. So let me close with this thought. We have seen what is the deposit and why is it important to us. And we have seen the importance of guarding it. And every one of us are enlisted for that entrusting from the God, to receive that entrusting from the God. It is not just one person's job or a couple of elders' job to guard this deposit when you are talking in terms of church, the fellowship. It is not one person or couple of persons' job. It is everyone's collective effort between young and old and everyone in the church to guard the deposit that has been entrusted to us. Older brothers and sisters should learn how to entrust to younger generations. Younger brothers and sisters should be ready to learn from them. There is mutual connection and the responsibility that is being shared between every one of us, every generation that is in the church. It is a collective responsibility. But our responsibility is to guard the deposit which has been entrusted to us. So let me close with this prayer, and I request everyone to turn to Jude, verse 24 and 25. Jude, verse 24 and 25. And let's read these verses, all of us together. Jude, verse 24 and 25. Because there is the, however difficult it is to guard this deposit, God has promised us and God has given us that living hope, eternal hope to us. It might be costly, the good deposit might be costly, but God has given that support to us. And he is promising us that he will keep us and he will protect us until the day he returns. So let us read this and pray this over us as I'm going to close. Jude, verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.